from Isaiah 43, 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Claire, for reading the word for us this morning. Let's begin in prayer. Holy Spirit, come with power. Thank you that you are present here. I pray that you would speak through these words in Isaiah. Lord, may we have ears to hear this morning as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be gathered together this morning. I thought that we could just take a little pause here and review a little bit of where we've been at our journey of Lent here. We are in the fifth week of Lent already. It's hard to believe. We just had our Ash Wednesday service. Time just is moving here. And we're following Jesus on the journey to the cross, journey to Jerusalem, and the journey to Easter Sunday. And in this season of Lent, we've been reflecting on this theme of blessed hunger, holy feast. The blessed hunger meant to represent our need for God. You see the empty bowl here that represents that we hunger for God. We need God. Our souls thirst for God. It's this space to intentionally reflect on our own brokenness, maybe our sin, that we acknowledge deep within us that God's light needs to shine upon. We come hungry this morning. And yet also this recognition of a holy feast and God's provision for us in the midst of our need. And so we've been reflecting on Lent 1, walking in the wilderness, Jesus' own journey in the wilderness. We've considered the barren pear tree looks lifeless, and yet we know that there is life in that tree. In week 2, we talked together about God gathering us together in safe shelter. God is like a mother hen protecting and gathering us in our need. In Lent 3, Bishop Joe Miller invited us to come to the feast with the beautiful text in the Psalms, this invitation to come to the dinner table. And last week in Lent 4, we talked about the Father's arms being open wide. And we looked at the elder son and the younger son. And we can probably identify maybe with either or both of them, and also this invitation to become more like the Father. And so I hope this season of Lent for each of us God's been working. I know for me it's been a good journey. Thinking intentionally, as Claire shared in worship, called to worship about spiritual formation, thinking about who we are becoming. Lent is this journey that we're on where we can really intentionally reflect more on what maybe needs to burn away in order for some new things to come that God wants to do in us. Who are we becoming as followers of Jesus? How are we being formed? What are the habits and the practices in our lives that are forming us? on this journey in Lent. How are we making room for more of God's love in our lives? That was a question that we were given at Ash Wednesday together. And this morning our theme is God makes a way through mighty waters. And even when we are exhausted, God makes a way through mighty waters. When I heard that theme, the first thought that came to my mind was a sprint triathlon in Mount Gretna. And the first part of the sprint triathlon was swimming a quarter mile through that lake in Mount Gretna. And I am not a good swimmer. I will just say that now. It was a serious challenge. And about 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes into the sprint triathlon, I was literally on my back doing the backstroke, trying to breathe. That's not how you're supposed to swim a triathlon. Let me just tell you that. It's not right. But I was so exhausted. I just really have a hard time breathing in water. I was doing backstrokes. And so this theme of even when we are exhausted, God makes a way through mighty waters. I was connecting with that right away. Maybe you can think of how you're connecting with this theme of feeling a little exhausted in the waters this morning. And in our exhaustion, there's this word of hope that God is making a way. We move forward in hope as God does a new thing. I was thinking about even members of our church, Don and Judy, who are in Tanzania right now, how this theme is so real to them right now. They literally are praying for the waters to flow. And let's pray for them as Don and Judy are going to be back in about a week here, that for these water projects in Tanzania, that God would make a way there. What it must be like to read these verses at the theological seminary right now, literally praying for water to flow. In our text this morning, we have some images that depict this exhaustion. Wastelands, stormy waters, as well as images of hope, imagery such as water in the desert, streams flowing. The prophet Isaiah's vision is rooted in the Exodus story this morning. This story of God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And I want us to look at the larger context here of Isaiah 43. Because the verses that were read for us from the lectionary is just a snippet here of the prophet Isaiah. And to look at all of 43 can be helpful here to see a little bit more of what's going on. Isaiah 43 begins, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This imagery of first and foremost knowing who we are is so important, I think, this morning. These are words of saying, this is your first and foremost. This is your identity. When the world is trying to tell us who we are and how we should become, this grounds us first and foremost in who we are. We are created by God. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then that theme kind of continues. Verse 5, "Do not fear. I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you." Verse 7, "I have created you for my glory. I formed and made you. God has created us and is forming us. Verse 18, which is our verses for this morning. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I think what's so important here to understand is in this journey of Lent, to think about who are we becoming, it's important not to think this is on our own, that this is on our own power. These words here in Isaiah tell us that God is doing something in us. God is the one that created us. God is the one that is forming us. God is the one doing a new thing in us. It's not on our own power. That's so reassuring this morning, that we can acknowledge God at work in us and in our congregation. Maybe the journey of Lent is giving more space for God to work in us, so that we can actually listen to how God wants to form us. But I just love the emphasis here on God the Creator at work in God's people Israel. And the climax verses here, in verses 18 and 19, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It's this imagery here that Israel is on this journey out of Egypt into the promised land. And that as they're on this journey, God is doing something new in them. And but what better way for them to be formed on this journey than to walk for 40 years? I just love it. God says, I'm going to form you. You're going to be my people. I want you to walk for 40 years to figure out how you be my people. That's pretty cool. I'm at work in your life. Put your faith in me. I'm doing something in you. I'm forming you. And this invitation to not remember the former things or consider the things of old, but to look forward into the new things that God wants to do within us. The speaker here helps us to imagine a new thing. This wilderness, this wasteland is transformed into something beautiful. The nasty creatures that we read about that live in the wilderness will now actually honor the Lord. The water of life, literally, is now abundant and available to all. Water in the wilderness. In the desert, thirsts are quenched. The formerly dry mouths of the Lord's people are now full with life-giving water. We have the visual of water here this morning. And so just as Israel is invited to think about the new thing that God wants to do in them, we are also invited to think about the new thing, who we are becoming and the new thing God is doing in us. As I was reading these verses, I thought also about the beautiful text of Paul writing to the Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And again, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Even in the New Testament here, we see these words again of in Christ there is something new happening. God is forming us and creating something new in us in Christ. And so on this journey, we have this invitation to also think about the new thing God is doing. A few weeks ago, Claire asked this question, who do I want to become when I am older? What a fantastic question to ask during Lent. And then I was thinking about that question, Claire, that you said. And I was also thinking about a sermon in the fall that Janet Brennan gave. And I was on sabbatical, but I was listening to it on our website. And I was just seeing all these themes coming together. And I want to share a little bit about, remind us of Janet's sermon. And think about, again, this theme of what is the new thing God is doing in us, and who are we becoming? Okay, so if you remember Janet's sermon, she was talking about patience and waiting. And she was talking about the Save the Butterfly movement at Landis Homes. And she used this visual of the caterpillar's transformation to the butterfly. And what a beautiful visual that we have in our bulletin. The new thing God is doing, and we see the picture of the caterpillar. And Todd, you showed the picture as well. This is from Janet. Okay, so that's an old photo. We have this beautiful picture in creation of transformation. The caterpillar's transformation to the beautiful butterfly. And it makes us ask the question of waiting. Waiting for the new thing God is doing in us. Even creation is subject to labor pains, just like we are. The groaning and waiting of creation that we read in Scripture for the glory when creation is fully redeemed. And we feel that too. We feel our labor pain, or the groaning of needing new life. But as we recognize that God is at work in us, God is doing a new thing, where there's this invitation to slow down and to wait and to be quiet, to listen. And I heard that coming through in your sermon so much, Janet. And these are Janet's words. Do I recognize the need to unclutter, to quiet my inner spirit, to listen, to pray, to read Scripture, and wait? Maybe it's reflecting at breakfast table to set a frame for the day, to drink in the outdoor beauty, to bask in the beauty of God's love. If we know that God is at work in us and forming us and doing a new thing, maybe the invitation in Lent is to slow down and be listening for how God is inviting us to something new. To maybe pray or read Scripture quietly at the breakfast table to set a frame for the day. What a beautiful invitation. I was thinking about this week as I was thinking about this sermon. Who do I want to become? If I was going to think in the next 5 years, or maybe even the next year, what kind of person do I want to become? Can you think of three words, or maybe three phrases, of things that you want to become? Maybe it's, for me, I want to care less about what other people think of me. I want to be able to spend more time just being quiet with God. I want to create more things with my hands, even though I'm not particularly gifted in that area. I feel like that's something I want to grow in. I want to be able to create more things with my hands and slow down in the process of creating them. Or I want to be able to make more room to understand God's love. How deep, huge it is. But when you think about that question, who do you want to become? Ultimately, we want to become more like Jesus, but I truly believe we need the community to help us know who we want to become. Because we see one another here, we can encourage one another, I see different characteristics in many of you, and I'm like, I want to try and become more like that. It's a beautiful invitation. And to know it's not on our own power, it's not on our own strength. We read here in Isaiah, this is God at work, doing something in us. Even here in our congregation, who does Whitmer Heights want to become? What is the new thing that God is doing in our church? I was thinking about a few things that I've seen. We have this invitation, do you not perceive it? That's Isaiah. So do we perceive some new things happening in our church? I perceive a few things, and you can tell me, you can add to them. I perceive a new thing, or something that we are becoming, a church that empowers young people to use their gifts and develop their gifts. I hope we can continue to become that. That our young people have invitations in leadership to use their gifts. I hope we can continue to become, and I'm perceiving this is happening, a church that is okay with trying some new things. Even it might mean letting go of some traditions that we've had in order to let some new things come up that we haven't done before. Do we perceive that happening here at Whitmer Heights? I perceive a new thing, and this isn't new, but I think it's maybe new in a bit of, it's being emphasized more. A church that listens to each other in our differences and waits patiently with each other. Do you perceive that happening? I want our church to become more of that. God is doing a new thing in each of us and in our church. Do we perceive it? And how will we meaningfully wait? Just as the caterpillar waits for the transformation into a butterfly, how will we meaningfully wait for the new thing that God is doing? What are the habits and practices to help us become and grow into the new thing God is doing? The Monarchs, going back to Janet's sermon, the Monarchs taught Janet much about life, to live calmly, admit that all there is to, preparing and waiting well. Butterflies are symbols of life and hope, even in the groaning of the world. And even that pear tree over there, seemingly dead, but Claire's convinced there's life in it. I'm believing Claire because he's an excellent orchard manager. There is life in there. Do you perceive it? God is doing a new thing in each of us on this journey of becoming. Just as it was for Israel, for Paul and the church and the new creation, and for each of us. Do you perceive it? Amen.